Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memorei Avraham Goldhari, and today we're in Masechet Ksubos Daf Yud Tes, the second parak, Ha'isha Shenis Armoa. The Zichud Masechet Ksubos program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three daves are going to focus on, number one, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Omer Shtar Amanu Huzeh Enu Ne'aman. If one says concerning a loan document, this is a document written on trust, he's not believed. Rashi explains that the loan never took place. Rather, the borrower wrote it and gave it to the lender in anticipation of the loan and trusted that the lender would not try to collect payment unless the loan occurred, but then the lender broke his trust. The Gemara seeks to clarify who said it was a shtar amana. It's obvious that if the borrower said it, he would not be believed, and if the lender said it, why should he not be believed? And if the witnesses said it, if their handwriting can be authenticated, why should they not be believed? And if it cannot be authenticated, why should they be believed? Rav said the borrower said it, and this is in accordance with Rav Huna's ruling, Moda b'shtar shiksavo ain't tzarich lekaimo. If one concedes that he drafted a document, the holder does not need to have it certified. Abai said the lender sent it, ukogon shechav l'acherim. And the reason he's not believed is that his admission is detrimental to others. This would be the case when he has his own creditors who want to use this note to collect from him. Rav Ashi brings his rationale that it's the witnesses who said it. Point number two, Rav Yishub ben Levi said, Asur lo adam shiyash shtar perua betoch beiso. It's also for a person, referring to a lender, to keep a paid-up loan document in his house. As the pasuk says, al tashkin b'ohalecha avla. Let not injustice dwell in your tent. In Eretz Yisrael, they said in the name of Rav, when the pasuk begins, im aven b'yadcha harchikeu, v'shtar aman u'shtar pasim. If there is a perversion in your hand, put it far away. This is a reference to a shtar mana and document written on persuasion. This is a false loan note that the holder of it persuaded a friend to write to give the impression that the holder of the note is wealthy. When the pasuk states, al tashkin b'ohalecha avla, zeshtar parua, let not injustice dwell in your tent, this refers to a paid-up note. The Gemara clarifies that according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who called the shtar parua, a paid-up loan document, an injustice, all the more so he holds the shtar amana as an injustice. And according to the one who called the shtar amana an injustice, does not consider a shtar perua an injustice, for sometimes the lender keeps it as collateral for his payment to the sofer who wrote the note. This occurs when the lova did not have the means to pay for the note, and the malva paid it for him. And point number three, Rav Nachman said, witnesses who signed a loan document, who later said, amana hayu devarenu, our words of testimony were written on trust, meaning on a document for a loan that would take place later, they're not believed. This is because it's illegal to sign such a document, and so the Edim are incriminating themselves. If they had said, Moda'ahayu Devarenu, our words of testimony were preceded by a notification of non-intent by the owner, they're not believed. Here the witnesses testify that before they signed, the seller indicated he was being coerced to sell and did not want the sale to be effective. They signed to help save the seller from the situation. Rashi explains they're not believed because their later testimony cannot invalidate the signed document held by the lender. Marba Ravashi said in the case of Moda'ah, they are believed. Why? This is because they're permitted to sign such a document to rescue the seller from the buyer's threats. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Omer Shtar Amana Huzeh Enu Ne'aman. If one says concerning a loan document, this is a document written on trust, he's not believed. Rashi explains that the loan never took place. Rather, the borrower wrote it and gave it to the lender in anticipation of the loan and trusted that the lender would not try to collect payment unless the loan occurred, but then the lender broke his trust. The Gemara seeks to clarify who said it was a shtar amana. It's obvious that if the borrower said it, he would not be believed, and if the lender said it, why should he not be believed? And if the witnesses said it, if their handwriting can be authenticated, why should they not be believed? And if it cannot be authenticated, why should they be believed? Rav said the borrower said it, and this is in accordance with Rav Huna's ruling, Moda b'shtar shiksavo ain't tzarich lekaimo. If one concedes that he drafted a document, the holder does not need to have it certified. Abai said the lender sent it, ukogon shechav l'acherim. And the reason he's not believed is that his admission is detrimental to others. This would be the case when he has his own creditors who want to use this note to collect from him. Rav Ashi brings his rationale that it's the witnesses who said it. Point number two, Rav Yishub ben Levi said, Asur lo adam shiyash shtar perua betoch beiso. It's also for a person, referring to a lender, to keep a paid-up loan document in his house. As the pasuk says, al tashkin b'ohalecha avla. Let not injustice dwell in your tent. In Eretz Yisrael, they said in the name of Rav, when the pasuk begins, im aven b'yadcha harchikeu, v'shtar aman u'shtar pasim, if there is a perversion in your hand, put it far away. This is a reference to a shtar mana and document written on persuasion. This is a false loan note that the holder of it persuaded a friend to write to give the impression that the holder of the note is wealthy. When the pasuk states, al tashkin b'ohalecha avla, z'shtar parua, let not injustice dwell in your tent, this refers to a paid-up note. The Gemara clarifies that according to Rav Yishuv ben Levi, who called the shtar parua, a paid-up loan document, an injustice, all the more so he holds the shtar amana is an injustice. And according to the one who called the shtar amana an injustice, does not consider a shtar perua an injustice, for sometimes the lender keeps it as collateral for his payment to the sofer who wrote the note. This occurs when the lova did not have the means to pay for the note, and the malva paid it for him. And point number three, Rav Nachman said, witnesses who signed a loan document, who later said, amana hayu devarenu, our words of testimony were written on trust, meaning on a document for a loan that would take place later, they're not believed. This is because it's illegal to sign such a document, and so the Edim are incriminating themselves. If they had said, moda'a hayu devarenu, our words of testimony were preceded by a notification of non-intent by the owner, they're not believed. Here the witnesses testify that before they signed, the seller indicated he was being coerced to sell and did not want the sale to be effective. They signed to help save the seller from the situation. Rashi explains they're not believed because their later testimony cannot invalidate the signed document held by the lender. Marba Ravashi said in the case of Moda, they are believed. Why? This is because they're permitted to sign such a document to rescue the seller from the buyer's threats. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Yotes, and our standard Siman is a yacht. A yacht. So here goes. The famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or Edim shouted the words, Shtar Amanu Zeh, and had the cabin searched for Shtar Amanas, Paruas, and Pasim, was in for a big surprise when two men claimed he coerced someone to sell him his magnifying glass, and although they signed the Shtar, declared, Moda Hayu Devarenu. Once again, it's slow motion. The famous detective who came on board the yacht, that must be warned off, Yutes. The famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, or lender, or Edim shouted the words, Shtar Aman Huzeh, which reminds us, if you'd have said in the name of Rav, Ha'omer Shtar Aman Huzeh, Enu Ne'aman. If one says concerning a loan document, this is a document written on trust, he's not believed. Rashi explains that the loan never took place. Rather, the borrower wrote it and gave it to the lender in anticipation of the loan and trusted that the lender would not try to collect payment unless the loan occurred, but then the lender broke his trust. The Gemara seeks to clarify who said it was a shtar amana. Was it the lova, the malva, or the Edim? So the famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or Edim shouted the words shtar amana huzeh and had the cabin searched for shtar amanas, paruas, and pasim, which reminds us of Yeshua ben Levi said, asulola adam shiyasha shtar parua betok beso. It's also for a person referring to a lender to keep a paid-up loan document in his house. As the pasuk says, al tashken boholecha avla. Let not injustice dwell in your tent. So the famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or Edim shouted the words, Shtar Amanu Huzeh, and had the cabin searched for Shtar Amanu's Peruas and Pasim, was in for a big surprise when two men claimed he coerced someone to sell him his magnifying glass, and although they signed the Shtar, declared, Moda Hayu Devarenu. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Edim who signed a loan document and later said, Moda hayu devarenu, our words of testimony were preceded by a notification of non-intent by the owner, they're not believed. Here, though, Edim testify that before they signed, the seller indicated he was being coerced to sell and did not want the sale to be effective. They signed to help save the seller from the situation. They're not believed because their later testimony cannot invalidate the signed document held by the lender. Marba Ravashi said, in the case of the Moda, they are believed. This is because they are permitted to sign such a document to rescue the seller from the buyer's threats. So once again, the famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or Edim shouted the words Shtar Amanu Huzeh and had the cabin searched for Shtar Amanu's Peruas and Pasim was in for a big surprise when two men claimed he coerced someone to sell him his magnifying glass, and although they signed the letter, declared Moda Hayu Devarenu. All right, now it's time for Four Blah Bat Chazara. Daf Tezvav, so Simur Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. It was a dark day when the majority of Jewish caravans carrying fruit bowls. Fruit bowls? That must mean we're on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat, fruit. It was a dark day when the majority of Jewish caravans carrying fruit bowls rolled into the town with the majority of Jews, for a young girl was violated, which reminds us of Yeshua ruled that a young girl who was violated was permitted to marry Kohen because the incident took place when the majority of the town had good yichus and the majority of caravans coming to the market were Jewish. Therefore, there were two majorities. The Gemara concludes that Ma'ilas B'Yuchsin, the rabbi set a high standard in yichus cases regarding a Kohen, and in a case of a suffolk whether someone is fit for the kahuna, two majorities are required. So it was a dark day when the majority of Jewish caravans carrying fruit bowls rolled into the town with the majority of Jews, for a young girl was violated. And then someone threw a heavy fruit bowl into a group of nine Jews and one Nachri and killed a Jew, which reminds us the source for Kol Kavul Kamexal Mexidami is the pasuk regarding a murderer, Ba'arav Lo Bakamalov, and ambushes him and rises up against him. And it was taught in the base midrash of Rabbi Yannai Prat Lazorik, Evan Lego, that the Pasuk is coming to exclude from capital punishment one who throws a stone into a group of people consisting of Jews and Kananim, and he kills a Jew. The Gemara clarifies that the Pasuk is needed in the case where there are nine Jews in the group and one Kanani. The person who threw the rock is not killed because Dabei Kanani Kavua, Bakol Kavua, Kamaxal Maxadami. The Kanani is considered stationed in place, Kavua, and any suffix relating to something Kavua is treated as having a probability of 50-50. So it was a dark day when the majority of Jewish caravans carrying fruit bowls rolled into the town with the majority of Jews, for a young girl was violated. And then someone threw a heavy fruit bowl into a group of nine Jews and one Nachri and killed a Jew, right next to where a little baby was found abandoned inside a fruit bowl. Which reminds me, we learned that if one found an abandoned child in the city, if Rova the residents are Nachrim, he's a Nachri and can be fed in the Velas. If Rova the residents are Jews, he's a Jew regarding Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects. Maxal Maxi Yisrael, if half the residents are Jews and half are Nachrim, he is treated as a Jew with regards to damages, such as paying half damages for a tam. Daf Tez Zayin. So the simmer Daf Tez Zayin is toes. So here goes. The two acrobats with the large toes. Toes? That must be more on Daf Tez Zayin. The two acrobats with the large toes who performed a trapeze act at a wedding and were aiding that the call down below went out with a veil, which reminds us, the opening mission of the second parak stated, Aisha Shinis Armo Oshinis Garsha, a woman who is widowed or divorced is claiming her ksuba. She says, you married me as a basula and you owe me a ksuba of 200 zuz. And he says, no, I married you as an almana and I only owe you 100 zuz. If there are witnesses that she went out with the hinuma and her hair down, her ksuba is 200 zuz. The Gemara says that the reason she's believed is because there were witnesses, but if there are no witnesses, the husband is believed, which implies that the mishnah is not in accordance with Gamliel, who believes a woman who claims she was violated after her erison and entitles her to a full ksuba. The Gemara answers that it can even be Rabban Gamliel. In the earlier mishnah, Rabban Gamliel believed her because it was a case of Bari Vashema, but here it's a case of Bari Vibari. So the two acrobats with the large toes who performed a trapeze act at a wedding and were aiding that the kala down below went out with a veil were so surprised when they overheard the caterer tell a guest, this wedding hall property was your father's and I bought it from him. Which reminds me of Yeshua's mode in the Migu case of someone saying this field was your father's, but I bought it from him. He's believed for the same mouth that is forbidden is the mouth that is permitted. This is a case of Hari Ein Shor Shachu Fanecha. Here there is no slaughtered ox before you, meaning there was no grounds for a claim. If the person had kept quiet about the field, no one would have ever investigated. But in the case of the woman who claimed she was violated after the Kedushin, Rabbi Shua holds she's not believed since it was a chassan not finding the basulim that initiated the claim. So the two acrobats with the large toes who performed a trapeze act at a wedding and were aiding that the call down below went out with a veil were so surprised when they overheard the caterer tell a guest, this wedding hall property was your father's and I bought it from him, that they knocked over a kos of truma wine that was being passed in front of the kala. Which reminds us, a brisa listed various signs that a kala was a basura, one of them being, Eviru Fanel Koshal Basura. They passed before her an announcement cup. Rav Barav explained that they passed before her a cup of truma wine as if to say that if she married a Kohen, Ruya Haisa Zo La'echob Truma, she's fitting to eat truma. When Rav Papa objected and said that an Alman who marries a Kohen can also eat truma, the Gemara answers, Zo Reshis Ketruma Reshis. This kala is having relations with her chasin is a first for her, like truma is the first that is separated from one's produce. Daf Yud Zayin. So the simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman. Used car salesman. That must be more on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who told the chassan that the kala was very beautiful and that he would never lie, which reminds us we have a malchus Beis Shem Beis Hill regarding Ketsa Meraknim Lifnei HaKala. What do we say in the presence of the kala? Do we say the truth or do we say kala na'a v'chasuda? So the used car salesman who told the chassan that the kala was very beautiful and that he would never lie, and who had a side business selling used shofars at massive levayas, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, mevatim talmud Torah lahutzas ameis achnasas akala, where mevatel talmud Torah to carry the dead out to burial and to accompany a kala to the chuppah. When does this apply? When there are not a sufficient number of people doing so, but when the number of people is sufficient, one may not be mevatel as learning. The Gemara asks, what is considered a sufficient number of people to honor a deceased? And Rav Shmuel Bar Inya said, in the name of Rav, 12,000 men and 6,000 men with shofars for a total of 18,000 people. Other opinions are brought as well. So the used car salesman who told the chassan that the car was very beautiful and that he would never lie, and who had a side business selling used shofars at massive levayas, didn't realize the car couldn't be seen behind her hinuma, where she was dozing. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, V'im yesh edim sheyatzas behinuma, that if there are witnesses that the kala went out with a hinuma to indicate that she's a basula, she receives a ksuba of 200 zuz. The Gemara asks, what is a Hinuma? Surcha Bar Papa said in the name of Ze'iri, it's a round canopy of Hadassim. Rabbi Yochanan said, Krisit Menamna Bakalsa. It's a veil in which the bride dozes. Rashi explains that since the eyes are covered by the veil, she sometimes dozes behind it. The term Hinuma is related to Tenuma, which is Hebrew for slumber. Daf Yud Ches. So the Simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. It was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah. Chuppah? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. It was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with eidim tried to pay the chassan back without eidim, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the halacha is hamalvas chaveru be'eidim eino sarcha faru be'eidim, that if one borrows from someone in the presence of witnesses, the borrower is not required to repay him in the presence of witnesses. So it was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with eidim tried to pay the chassan back without eidim. And the chassan said, I lent you more. And the borrower was only moda b'mixas. Which reminds us, Rabbah taught mifnei ma'am retorah moda b'mixas satana yishava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear that the denial of the other part is true? Chazaka ain't adam me'iz panam mifnei balchoba, because it's a chazaka that a person is not brazen enough to deny his obligation in the face of his lender. Therefore, it's possible that the debtor really wished to deny the entire loan, and the reason he did not deny it entirely is only because the person is not brazen enough to deny the entire loan to the face of the lender. Rabba brings another rationale as well. So it was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with eidim tried to pay the chassan back without eidim. And the chassan said, I lent you more, and the borrower was only moda b'mixas. And then the eidim suddenly spoke up and said, we were forced with a financial threat, but we're not believed. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that eidim she'amru ksav yadeinu huzeh, if witnesses come to certify a document, and they say, this is our handwriting, ava anusim hayinu katanim hayinu psuhi eidus hayinu hari elon ha'manim, but we were forced to sign, or we were minors when we were signed, or we were unfit to testify, they're believed. Rami Bar Chama said that this applies when they were forced with a threat to their lives, but if they said they were forced with a threat to their finances, they're not believed, because ein adam mesim atzmo rasha, a person cannot establish himself as a rasha. Rashi explains that a witness cannot disqualify himself with a self-incriminating statement, because karv hu etzel atzmo v'karv pasul eidus, a person is considered related to himself, and a person cannot testify about his relatives. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that it's a machlokes if eidim are believed when they say modahayu dvarenu, which is said when they try to save the seller who was coerced to sell? That's on daf Yud Tes. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn if witnesses say the handwriting of a document is theirs, but they were forced with a financial threat, they're not believed because ein adam mesim atzmo rasha? That's on daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss the status of an abandoned child, whether it's considered a Jew or a Nachri? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn that one of the signs that a kal was a basur is when they pass before her a kos shel basur, which is a cup of truma wine? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff did the Gemara seek to clarify who said shtar aman huzeh? Was it the malva, the lover, or the eidim? That's on daf Yud Tes. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn that were mevatel talmud Torah for levai sameis and achnasas kala, and a sufficient number for a levai is 12,000 people with 6,000 blowing shofars? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn chuz beishamayim beis hillo regarding kates of meraknim lifnei hakala? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that a person who borrowed in front of eidim does not need to repay the loan in front of eidim? That's on daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 9. Which daf did we learn that a hinuma is either a canopy of hadassim or a veil where the kala sometimes dozes? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which daf did we learn why the Torah says a modeb mixas swears? That's on daf Yud Ches. Excellent. Right. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.